We see them all the time on TV. A base skeleton of a human being lying there with flies all over. And you look into their eyes and you just know that often, even if they got help at that point in time, they would die anyway. But as you look at Esau in the scripture, you realize he was certainly not about to die. His behavior did not match up with someone who is dying of starvation. He sat down, he ate, and then he got up and walked away. Somebody who is really malnourished is too weak to just sit down, eat, and jump up and leave. So he was certainly not about to die. But his thoughts, however, were very dark and depressing, and he was questioning the very meaning of his existence. It's always a good thing to ask why you are here on this earth. Always. That is one of the most important questions to ask. Why am I here? What is this life all about? But Esau, who was overwhelmed with grief because his grandfather had just died, had come to the conclusion that his birthright was of no use to him, and thus he had no desire to even have it at all. His thinking seemed to be, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And in this, the Bible says that Esau despised his birthright. And so what was Esau's birthright? Esau was the firstborn son. It was custom for the firstborn son to receive a double portion of his father's inheritance. Esau had inherited all of Abraham's immense wealth, as well as the Abrahamic covenant which God had established with him. Thus, if Isaac did not have more sons, Esau would inherit 2/3 of the promised land, while Jacob would inherit 1/3. That was Esau's birthright. But remember that there was a catch. The catch was that they would not inherit it straight away. In fact, it was even worse, because not only would they not inherit the land straight away, but in the meantime, there would be slaves in a land that was not theirs. Oppressed. Remember Genesis 15, verse 13 to 14. God said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions." Now, Abraham was between 75 and 86 years old at the time when God spoke those words to him. He died at 175 years of age. Esau could easily calculate that this freedom and the possession of land would not happen in his own lifetime. Therefore, he would not be able to personally enjoy the benefits of the covenant. Instead, a promise of slavery and affliction lay ahead. Who in their right minds would want such a birthright? Who would choose slavery and affliction? Not Esau. Esau was only looking at the benefits to himself and his children, perhaps. What Esau failed to do was to look at the larger picture further down the timeline, because part of that same birthright was to be part of the bloodline from which the promised Messiah who would save the whole world would come. And how often don't we do that? We want a life of personal comfort. But God is often looking at a far bigger picture than what we can see. In summary, Esau's birthright was, number one, his place in Isaac's family. Number two, 2/3 of Isaac's goods. Number three, the blessing of Abraham. That is the Abrahamic covenant. Number four, which would tie into the previous one, of course, is to be part of the Messiah's bloodline. And finally, but not limited to this, 2/3 of the promised land. And so, consumed by his own mortality, Esau placed little or no value on his birthright and sold it for a pot of red lentil soup. This is where we see yet another name change in the Bible. Esau's name changed to Edom, which means red. Why? Not because he actually was reddish in color, which he was, but that was not the reason why his name was changed to Edom. His name, the Bible tells us, was changed to Edom because that was the color of the stew he traded his birthright for. This incident determined his identity and changed his destiny. Later on in Genesis 27, we read about Jacob deceiving his father in order to receive Esau's blessing, which, as we have seen, was a prophetic declaration of blessing over his life and an impartation of his destiny. When Esau found out about this, he was extremely upset. Genesis 27 verse 36 says, "And Esau said, Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing." And we will look at Jacob's name later on. But for right now, we are focusing on Esau. Interestingly enough, later on, we actually see Jacob giving Esau his blessing back. In Genesis 33, verse 10 to 11, Jacob said, "No, please," he's talking to Esau, "if I have now found favor in your sight, then receive my present from my hand, inasmuch as I have seen your face, as though I had seen the face of God and you were pleased with me. Please, take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." So he urged him, and he took it. But Jacob could not give Esau his covenantal birthright back, only his material possessions. It's interesting enough to note that God was always faithful to Esau because of his covenant with Abraham, even although Esau basically threw his birthright in God's face. God gave Esau his own land called Seir, S-E-I-R. Deuteronomy 2 verse 45 says, God told Moses to command the people, saying, "You are about to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore watch yourselves carefully. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as one footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession." That's the God that we serve. Even when we are unfaithful, he is still faithful, because he cannot be unfaithful, no matter what we do. Esau was not the victim he painted himself to be in Genesis 27 verse 36, where we just read when he said, "He has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and look, now he has taken away my blessing." The birthright and the blessing cannot be separated. This is what Esau didn't seem to get. Jacob never took Esau's birthright away from him. Esau sold it to Jacob for a bowl of soup. Esau did not understand the principles of God, or he didn't care about them. And this is the problem with people who do not have a heart for God. They cannot see or understand things from God's perspective. Esau viewed the birthright and the blessing as two things that could be separated. However, Paul tells us differently in Hebrews. Hebrews 2 in the Amplified Version says that no one may become guilty of sexual vice or become a profane, godless, and sacrilegious person as Esau did, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you understand that later on, when he wanted to regain title to his inheritance of the blessing, he was rejected, disqualified, and set aside, for he could find no opportunity to repair by repentance what he had done, no chance to recall the choice he had made, although he sought for it carefully with bitter tears. The blessing came with the birthright. They were two different things, but they belonged together. They could not be separated. When Esau threw away his birthright, he threw away his place as a son in the family, and therefore he was no longer an heir of the covenant. Notice that Paul said that Esau was godless. In other words, Esau did not care about God. He did not have any place in his heart for God at all. Merciless means having no mercy. Childless means having no child. Godless means having no God. When we don't care about the things of God, then we don't care about God. If you care about God, those things that matter to him, in this case, the covenant, would matter to you. And they do, because that's why you're doing the study, because you care about the things of God. But Esau didn't.